This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm Father Stephen Roth, Director of Vocation for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. On today's show, our guest is Luke Koski. Luke is a seminarian on pastoral year at Christ the King in Glen Burnie. Welcome, Seminarian Luke.
Thank you, Father Stephen.
Luke, it's good to be with you this morning. I know that our time together dates back to your days out at Towson University as a student. So I think that might be a really good place to start. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your vocation story and how you got to this point of being on pastoral year?
So for sure, yeah. So I'm a Baltimore native from Maryland, and I grew up in a Catholic family, going to Mass, praying before meals, but not really, you know, deep in the faith, not praying the rosary, not really reading scripture at home all that often. So going into high school, at Calvary Hall College, learning the faith and, you know, being around the Christian brothers definitely opened up my mind and my heart to possibility of religious life. But it wasn't until going into college at Towson University and my time at the Newman Center that I really took the time to discern that call, that possibility of religious life. And I think that for many men growing up in today's world, they oftentimes think of that they have the vocation of marriage, and they think that, you know, happiness is getting married, happiness is having kids, but they don't really consider the possibility of being happy as a priest or for women as religious sisters or nuns. So changing, you know, being open to that possibility and having that change in my heart and my mind from thinking that I was, you know, called to marriage, called to having kids, to being called to priesthood, takes time. It takes prayer, it takes guidance, and a community of people around you who are also pursuing holiness, becoming saints. So for me, my time at Towson, I remember, you know, spending hours and hours in the Adoration Chapel and, you know, reading scripture, looking at Bible verses, and asking that question, Lord, what do you want of me? What do you want me to do with my life? And in talking with priests about, like, you know, things like celibacy, prayer, obedience, you have to start thinking about, you know, how do I see myself serving the people of God? How do I see myself serving the people around me? But also, how do I see myself at the time of death? Eventually, you know, at the end of my life, when I'm laying in my deathbed, you know, I can picture myself dying with, you know, surrounded by, you know, kids, grandkids. I can see myself in the deathbed, surrounded by priests and the people who, you know, I've ministered to as a priest. And both are good, but then the question is, you know, Lord, which one are you calling me to? So for me, it was, you know, reading books, all the prayer, talking with priests, and eventually I went on a mission trip down to Nicaragua with FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. And when I was down in Nicaragua, I was praying in adoration in the chapel down there. And I heard in prayer, the Lord say to me very clearly, for the first time out of all the hours and my whole time there, I heard the Lord say to me, Luke, I'm proud of you and I love you. And if you decide to get married and have a family, I will still love you and also be proud of you, and you'll lead your family to heaven and lots of souls to heaven, but I'm calling you to the priesthood. And I was just like, ooh, really? Priesthood. And now hearing like Mary's voice, you know, do whatever he tells you, you know, so like, all right. So after that, I had a decision to make, right? I listened, I heard what I thought he was calling me to, and I said, okay. Now, like, the invitation is there. I'm going to try to respond. I'm going to try to listen, you know, discern. I've discerned, but I'm going to try to respond now with his help, with his grace, to answer that call. So getting back, you know, I talked to my now ex-girlfriend who's married, thanks be to God, talked to my spiritual director, talked to the vocations director, and all three more or less said the same thing of, if this is what you think the Lord is calling you to, then you are free to pursue it. So I applied, and by the grace of God, I was accepted. And now 5 years later, here I am, pastoral year at Christ the King. It has been awesome. It has been probably the best part of my life, being a seminarian for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. And has it been easy this whole time? Absolutely not. Have there been struggles and challenges and difficulties? Yes. But it has been full of joy. I've been so happy doing this. And if I had to go back in time to that mission trip or the following weeks after, and if I had to redo the whole thing over again, I would still make the same decision. And I would still do what I did then. And I give thanks to God for every minute that I've been a seminarian.
Wow, look, that's great. That's really an incredible story. Two things, I guess, that popped into my mind as I was listening to you. First off, you spoke a lot about happiness. And, you know, you mentioned that a lot of people feel that they will only have or find happiness by getting married. And I certainly noticed that as I travel around to different schools in the Archdiocese. If I ask the kids or ask the students, how many of you are discerning marriage, they all raise their hands. But when I say, how many of you are discerning priesthood, I'd be lucky if one or two raised their hands. And really the essence of it is they think that becoming a priest isn't a happy life. Can you speak a little bit about that? Where have you found happiness? I mean, I realize you're not a priest yet, but as a seminarian, where have you found happiness that's propelled you to continue in formation?
Sure. I think it's an excellent point. I think that for, you know, for myself, oftentimes I'd only see priests for 1 hour on Sunday at Mass. And, you know, looking back now, I realized that the priest may have had already a Mass earlier that day. They may have had two Masses that day, Masses on Saturday, and they're probably tired from all those Masses and just parish life in general. So I think that many high school students, their only exposure to priests and priesthood is on Sunday Mass. They don't see the rest of parish life. They don't see the weddings, the baptisms, the you know, the fun parties and meeting with families, etc. So the more that I looked into what the priesthood actually is and what the priest actually does, that's when I started to discover, wait a second, there's so much more to this than just Masses on Sunday. There's so much more to this than, you know, celibacy and not being married. Actually, no, this is actually giving your life not just to one person and children, but to the entire parish as, you know, a gift of self to all the parishioners, all the families of the parish, and spending all of your time with the people of God who love you, are generous with you, and want, you know, sharing their life with you. And I think that the joy for me as a seminarian so far has been getting to know the people in the parish and spending time with them, and also the seminarians. But I'll start with the parishioners first. The people of God are a delight, and they are so willing to, you know, share with you their joys, their struggles, their goals. And when they talk to you about, you know, things that they're struggling with, things that they are doing in their lives, they come to you as not just another person, but as a representative of the church and as a representative of Christ in a certain way, not as a priest or a bishop, of course, but as someone who's wearing the collar and someone who is living a life of prayer, living a life of service for the church. And I found great joy in those moments of, you know, well, yeah, telling jokes, telling funny stories and sharing life with those people. Also, it's worth saying for this, with life with the seminarians also and the priests of the Archdiocese, the Lord does not call the perfect, but he perfects the call. And the people who are serving as seminarians, as priests, are not perfect people, but my goodness, they are incredible people. And sharing life with them, meals, fellowship, fraternity, and joking with them, talking about parish life with them, it has been better than what I ever could have expected. And I think that for high schoolers, college-age students who don't know what that is like to have that brotherhood, to have that fellowship with the other seminarians, with the priests and bishops of the archdiocese, and ministering to the people of God in a way that you pour yourself out, that by the time you actually finish the day, I'm exhausted. You know, I'm like, man, I don't even know how I could have a family after this. You know, by the time I get done and I'm back in the rectory, I'm exhausted. I just want to like read or listen to music or, you know, like chill and then fall asleep, get ready for the next day. So I think that knowing more about the priesthood, knowing more about that brotherhood, it gives you a better idea of how you could be happy living that life without having a wife and kids.
Well, thanks for giving us those insights, Luke. I think it's really clear that you're finding incredible joy in information, and we are very blessed to have you as a seminarian and God willing as a future priest. We're going to take a little break now, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Quo Vadis, which is a program that Luke is working on that'll be happening in the next few weeks. Again, I'm Father Stephen Roth, and you're listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Child enters the world with limitless potential. Potential of mind. Potential of body. Potential of spirit. If there was only a place where that potential could be nurtured and challenged every day, where the limits of greatness, once unseen, could now be within reach. Catholic schools rise above.
With inviting surroundings, complete independence, and an unmatched quality of life, Mercy Ridge is the unparalleled choice for your retirement lifestyle. It's a way of living that promotes an active, healthier life. Located in Timonium, Maryland, Mercy Ridge Continuing Care Retirement Community features a beautifully landscaped 32-acre campus. The grounds, dining, and recreational amenities and residences are designed to provide a gracious lifestyle and a variety of exciting activities. Visit mercyridge.com.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Pope Francis congratulated retired Pope Benedict XVI on the 70th anniversary of his priestly ordination. After praying the Angelus Prayer with pilgrims gathered in St. Peter's Square June 29th, the feast of Saints Peter and Paul, the Pope led the faithful in applauding his predecessor in what he said was, quote, an anniversary that touches all of our hearts. Quote, our affection, our gratitude, and our closeness go to you, Benedict, dear father and brother, he said. Born in 1927 in Bavaria, Joseph Ratzinger was ordained to the priesthood June 29, 1951. Before his election as Pope in 2005, succeeding St. John Paul II, he served for 24 years as the prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. He retired in 2013. Before leading pilgrims in a prolonged applause, the Pope thanked Pope Benedict for his years of service to the Church and his witness of faith. Quote, thank you, Benedict, dear father and brother, the Pope said. Thank you for your credible witness. Thank you for your continuous gaze towards the horizon of God. Thank you. End quote. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. Saints Peter and Paul were great not just because of their zeal for the gospel, but because they allowed Christ to enter their hearts and change their lives, Pope Francis said. Quote, the Church looks to these two giants of faith and sees two apostles who set free the power of the gospel in our world, but only because first they themselves have been set free by their encounter with Christ, end quote, the Pope said during his homily at Mass for the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul, June 29th. The feast day celebration in St. Peter's Basilica included the traditional blessing of the pallium, the woolen band that the heads of archdiocese wear around their shoulders over their Mass vestments. Pope Francis encouraged Christians to be free from fear like Peter and like Paul, to be free from the temptation to present ourselves with worldly power rather than with the weakness that makes space for God, and free from a, quote, religiosity that makes us rigid and inflexible, end quote. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, I'm Kevin Parks.
The Archdiocese of Baltimore makes the protection of children a leading priority in its parishes, schools, and other ministries. The Archdiocese seeks to keep kids safe through training and background checks and by implementing a zero-tolerance policy for anyone credibly accused of abusing a child. For more information about the Archdiocese efforts to keep our children safe, please visit www.archbalt.org/accountability.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm Father Stephen Roth, Director of Vocations for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We're continuing to talk to Luke Koski, a seminarian for the Archdiocese. Luke, in our last segment, you spoke a lot about your discernment and the joy that you experience as a seminarian. But in particular, this year, while you're on pastoral year, you and your brother seminarians have been entrusted with leading a program or camp called Quo Vadis. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what is Quo Vadis?
Sure. So Quo Vadis is Latin for where are you going? And the story, as I want to try to recall it, is there is a story of St. Peter. He found out he was going to be persecuted and killed, crucified. And in order to flee from being crucified, he was leaving Rome. And as he was walking away from Rome, story says, legend has it, that Christ walked past him walking back to Rome. And Peter said, Lord, where are you going? And he said, I'm going to Rome to die. Where are you going? And St. Peter, took that, the meeting or the vision as a sign that he should not flee from the danger, not flee from death, but rather go back and witness to the faith, witness to the Lord. And he went back, and as we know, he was crucified. So that story, though, is meant to be a witness to us, for us asking, being asked the question from the Lord, where are you going? What is your plan? How are we seeking to do the Lord's will? So Quo Vadis is a camp for high schoolers from July 12th to the 15th. And we're having this camp at several locations around the Archdiocese, different parishes that will make it easy for high schoolers to get to. And at this camp, high schoolers are going to be meeting other high schoolers from around that area. And they're going to be, playing games, playing sports, listening to speakers, praying. They're going to be hanging out with the seminarians, and they're going to have that time to discern, to pray, to be able to have that time to hear the Lord asking them, where are you going? Where do you think I'm calling you to? And I think that the value of Quo Vadis is that in our world today, there are so many distractions. There are so many things fighting for our attention, whether it's social media, whether it's music, whether it's other people in our lives, but having these days of this opportunity to listen, to discern, and to pray, to hear where the Lord might be calling them in their lives, whether it's to marriage, whether it's to priesthood, having that time with the other people in community, the other high schoolers, is the value of Quo Vadis. And I think that is why high schoolers continue to come back year after year. And that's why some of our seminarians who have joined found Quo Vadis to be very beneficial for their discernment in answering the call.
Luke, as you mentioned, this camp is going to be held at different locations. This year we'll be at St. John's in Westminster, Sacred Heart in Glendon, St. Joe's in Fullerton, Sacred Heart in Highlandtown, and Our Lady of the Chesapeake in Pasadena. But given that the camp is going to occur in all these different locations, is there a common theme or a common thread that the pastoral year seminarians are trying to create or project throughout these days?
Yeah. So our theme for this year is God has called you. Listen, discern, and pray. And the key message that we want to convey to our young people is that gathered together as a group of high schoolers, God has called you now, and your response matters. It's time for you to listen to God's call, to discern what he is asking of you, and to pray, asking for his help and his grace for guidance.
So it seems clear that if there's a high school student out there that is really discerning whether the Lord is calling him to priesthood, this would be a perfect experience for him. But how about someone that isn't, that is a high school student, he's striving to be a good, virtuous man, but very much feels as though the Lord is calling him to marriage. Would this then not be for him?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think that this camp is really for any young man who wants to grow in virtue, who wants to be a holy, either husband or priest, that having this time of prayer and fellowship with these other high school men, with the seminarians and with the priests who will be ministering to the high schoolers throughout the week, this opportunity will help them no matter what they do with their lives. And that just, hearing the talks and spending that time at the parish, close to the Eucharist, in adoration, participating in the sacraments, that'll benefit them for the rest of their lives, no matter what the Lord is calling them to. So I think that this camp is for all high school age men, no matter where they're at in their discernment process or where they think the Lord is calling them to.
Given that you're part of the planning for these days, what aspect of this camp are you most excited about?
For me, I think I'm most excited for the time that these high schoolers are going to have in adoration. I think that for high schoolers, they're not always familiar with adoration in that time of silence, that time of prayer, that time of meditation, and even maybe contemplation of having that time where they don't have to worry about school, they don't have to worry about homework, they don't have to worry about chores, they don't have to worry about work. This is really just time for them to be in the Lord's presence, to be loved, to be known, and to be called by the Lord to what he is asking of them. So I really enjoy seeing high schoolers, maybe for the first time, going to adoration and being in the Lord's presence and being known and loved by him and asking that question, maybe for the first time, Lord, where are you calling me to? And hearing the responses afterwards, wow, you know what? That was really peaceful. I'm surprised at how much I like that. I haven't found that anywhere else before in my entire life. It's like, yes, that's what this week is for.
Luke, I understand that obviously you've been a seminarian for a few years, and so you have seen Quo Vadis happen each year. Is there something that you would say that brings back the students year after year? Is there any type of, insight that you would draw from why are high school students making this a priority year after year?
I think that one of the big things is the community aspect of Quo Vadis, and that young people today, I think that they're either thought of as one large group of people, that they're not seen as individual, or they're only seen as an individual separate from any other connection to any other person in this real type of friendship. But that at Quo Vadis, over the week, they form these connections, these friendships with the other high schoolers, that these are people who are pursuing a life of holiness. They're pursuing to do God's will, and that they find at Quo Vadis something that they haven't found anywhere else, and that these are people who are thinking like them, who are trying to live like them, and that, laughing with them, sharing meals with them, playing sports with them, this is a place where they can go year after year to enjoy being in the Lord's presence, but also sharing life with those other high schoolers. So I think that community aspect is huge and invaluable in their lives.
Well, Luke, I think you've sold me. If I was a parent of a high school student or a high school student, I would definitely be interested. But let me just ask you this final question. It's been a tough year, and a lot of families are struggling financially. And even though the cost of this camp isn't that expensive, for some families, this may be a burden that they just can't endure. Is there any help available for a family that would like their son or a brother to attend but can't afford it?
Absolutely. Yeah, financial obstacles should not be a difficulty or reason for a high schooler not to come to Quo Vadis. And that if any family or any high schooler is having financial difficulties or thinks that that's a reason for them not to attend Quo Vadis, it does not need to be, and it should not be. So just get in contact with the vocations office, and they can speak to someone from there or one of the pastoral year seminarians, and we can help them out with covering the entire cost of Quo Vadis so they could attend for free.
Terrific. And also for families that are listening, that have high school girls that are interested in a similar program, we're happy to announce that we're working with the Servidores, who are having a come and see retreat July 18th to the 20th. And you can find more information on their website, which is ssvmusa.org, ssvmusa.org. Finally, thanks, Luke, for being on the show. I very much enjoyed our conversation. And to our listeners who would like more information about Luke's story or Quo Vadis or any other vocation information, please check out our website, which is bemorevocations.org. Again, it's bemorevocations.org. I'm Father Stephen Roth, praying for you, and thanks for listening.
You're probably not getting much church news in your daily newspaper or on your local TV station. The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. There are so many ways to stay in touch with the Catholic Review. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Get fresh news every day online at catholicreview.org. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Catholic Review Media will inspire, teach, inform, and engage you wherever your faith takes you. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.